In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Now, it's not hard to imagine that one or two of these shepherds was a young man at the time of Jesus' birth, nor is it hard to imagine that one or two lived to old age. If that was the case, then it's also possible that at least one of these shepherds could have lived to see the entire span of Jesus' life. Other than Mary herself, no one else on earth could have made that claim. But at the moment in the Christmas story when the gospel tells us that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, the shepherds had no idea what was to come for them or for this newborn Messiah. They had no clue about the coming flight of the Holy Family to Egypt, let alone the miracles Jesus would perform. They couldn't have known anything about the teachings Jesus would give or all the people he would heal. They would never have guessed at the betrayal Jesus would undergo, his suffering at the hands of the Romans, his crucifixion and resurrection to new life. The shepherds, joyful and marveling at what they had seen, must not have known a scintilla of foreboding that night at the trials Jesus would face, since they could not have known what was to come. But of course, we do. So can we share their joy, knowing as we do that Jesus will suffer temptation and betrayal and worse? More generally, if we know that we will all face struggles in this life at some time or other, how are we to live joyful lives? Most of us have watched documentaries about a famous person in history whose story we know well and whose suffering we feel deeply. But yet we still watch, knowing what will happen roughly halfway through the film. How many of you, for instance, have watched a documentary about the life of Abraham Lincoln, even though you knew that you would shudder when John Wilkes Booth pulled that trigger? Or when Mary Todd Lincoln got the news that her husband had died. And yet the message of any film about Lincoln is still one of hope, because the driving force behind our greatest president was not his own personal survival into old age or a comfortable retirement, but the unity of the nation and the destruction of slavery. Perhaps it's worth asking what the driving force in our own lives is. It likely won't be anything as grand as saving the nation or ending slavery. But whatever it is, and hopefully a big part of it has to do with following Jesus, it may hold the key to allowing us to be joyful, as those shepherds in Bethlehem were all those years ago. And perhaps this is a good time as any for that kind of introspection. New Year's Day only falls on a Sunday once every seven years, and here we are in church at the start of a new year, a chance to reflect on how we might share in the shepherd's joy in this coming year. But that begs the question, why exactly were the shepherds joyful that day? Perhaps it was because the angel had told them that the Messiah was born, and at that time, expectation of the coming Messiah was high among the Jewish people. Even relatively uneducated Jews, like those shepherds, were likely aware of the promise of a Messiah that would restore the line of David and the kingdom of Israel. And perhaps these shepherds were thinking, finally, Israel will be restored, now we can celebrate. That may have been part of their joy. And certainly, when we see a better world on the horizon for us and for those we love, that's cause to celebrate. But if those shepherds were expecting a Messiah king that would lead the Jewish people in battle and victory against the Roman oppressors, they also would have expected at least 2 decades to pass before this Messiah was even old enough to lead such a restoration of the line of King David. So while some hopefulness might have been powering their joy, I'm not sure it was the key factor. So what was it? 2 years ago, here at Grace, we undertook a small group series loosely based on a book by the Christian writer Anne Lamott titled Help, Thanks, Wow. And the title from Lamott's comes from Lamott's contention that there are really three types of prayer, which can be boiled down to those three words when they are sent God's way: help, thanks, wow. And we do that first one, the help prayer, all the time. If the old saying is true that there are no atheists in foxholes, then even many atheists have prayed to God in times of trouble. And many of us thank God when a particular blessing has come our way. Perhaps we should do that more often than we do, but thanking God is something most of us do from time to time. It's that final prayer, the prayer of wow, that I think is at the heart of the shepherd's joy that day in Bethlehem. When the day finally came to a close for those shepherds, the gospel says that they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. The shepherds end that day with more money than when they started? No. More sheep? No. Better homes, better houses, or spouses, or pension plans? No, not any of it. In fact, the Bible doesn't even say the shepherds then glorified and praised God that now, at long last, the line of David and the sovereignty of Israel would be restored. They simply praised God for what they had seen and heard. I suspect none of us has ever seen nor ever will see what those shepherds saw in Bethlehem all those years ago. But have we not seen things that take our own breath away as well? Have we too not praised God that we have witnessed something beautiful or amazing, even if it doesn't improve our own life in any demonstrable way? Maybe you've seen the Northern Lights, or your uncle apologize, or the Cubs win the series, or the birth of a child. Perhaps some small part of nurturing that shepherd's joy is looking for those places in our lives and in the world that make us say, wow, wow. I know many of you, have had the experience of standing by the door of this very church when someone enters for the first time, looks up, and says, wow. We don't have to go far to be able to offer that prayer to God. Perhaps the shepherds on that day 2,000 years ago were praising God for their salvation or deliverance or redemption. But more likely, I think they were offering to God a prayer of wow. And that's an excellent prayer. That's a sustaining prayer. And perhaps noticing wonderful things in this world and in our lives and offering those prayers of amazement can help lead us to both hope and salvation, which is why Jesus came into the world to begin with. Amen.